We've been talking about some life-changing conversations people have with Jesus, and we're going to keep that up. Today we're in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. If you want to follow along, you can use the YouVersion app. The event is there. You can use your own Bibles, or you can just listen to me and trust me. I will do my best not to lead you astray. Luke chapter 18. Thank you for not saying anything in response to what I just said. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting beside the road, begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. I'm just going to pause for a moment. Who do you think was leading the way? I'm guessing it was the disciples. Jesus would have been up there toward the front walking. Disciples would have been there, and everybody following along. Everybody's on their way to Jerusalem, and this guy starts making a scene. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And well, we can't have any of that nonsense going on. So we have guys like Peter and James and John and Andrew, and you know, there were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him, and their job was to tell people to be quiet. Now, that wasn't their job, but that's what they decided to do. Those who were ahead, I'm guessing, may have been some of the other people. May have been the Chamber of Commerce of Jericho, who didn't want somebody making a scene in the parade with a famous person going by. I don't know. Whoever it was, they told him to be quiet. Stop making a scene. And he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You tell me to shut up and I'm going to yell louder. That's what he said. Okay, we're going to pause for a moment. So this is the normal world for Jesus. Jesus is traveling through Jericho. He is on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time before his death and his crucifixion and his resurrection. Everything's going according to plan. And then this guy starts, he finds out Jesus is passing by. And he starts yelling and crying for help. And the crowd tells him to be quiet, and he just keeps yelling louder. Now here's the interesting thing about Jesus. Whenever trouble shows up, Jesus steps in to change things up. Jesus stopped. He just stops. No brake lights, too, so you can see the whole crowd going, bumping into each other. "What's going on? Quit bumping me," all that kind of stuff. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came, Jesus says, ask him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Short conversation. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." "Your faith has made you well." "Whoa, thank God I can see. That was, well, I'm just putting that part in there because Luke doesn't tell us what he said exactly, but he starts following Jesus. Jesus invites him to come close and ask that simple question, what do you want me to do for you? The man requests his sight, Jesus heals him, and the man follows Jesus praising God. So I'm looking at Luke's record here, and I began to ask myself, what motivated Jesus to ask that question? What do you want me to do for you? Now, according to Matthew's version of the event, Jesus was moved by compassion for him. He was moved by compassion. I've been reading some posts by a Lutheran pastor named Nadia Boltz-Weber. I think she nailed it with this paragraph. She says, in my mind, pity isn't even related to compassion. Pity is just the cousin of contempt. Hold on. It allows us to see others as those less fortunate than ourselves. Pity keeps the other person at a distance and me in rarefied state of satisfaction. She says, I struggle to see who would ever truly want it from another person. She concludes with, compassion, on the other hand, draws us close. Did you see what Jesus did? This man is beside the road yelling for Jesus to help him, and Jesus stopped and brought him close. Jesus was often moved by compassion. We read about a couple of them earlier in our Bible readings. He saw the crowds that he was teaching and preaching to and healing their sicknesses, and he saw them and he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Another occasion, he went away privately to get away with his disciples. He went away on a boat to an isolated place to try to get away. And people saw and figured out where he was going, and they ran around the lake to get there first. And when he got off of the boat, he says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I don't know about you, but if I'm going, trying to get away for a vacation, and if I were to take off on a boat to get to the other side of the lake and people ran and got there first to say, hey, please pay attention to me. I need you to do stuff for me. The first thing I'd want to do is get back on the boat and go somewhere else. But Jesus had compassion on them and brought them close and healed them. And then we read one of my favorites earlier as well, when Jesus was moved with compassion and had compassion on the widow who lost her son. And raised him back to life. What about us? Now, to the best of my knowledge, none of us are begging by the side of the road. But we all have our own hurts, hang-ups, and habits that we struggle with. We struggle with disappointments and discouragement and distractions. We have grief that we bear. We have we all have problems that maybe nobody else knows about. We all have reasons to be calling out to Jesus. need to know Jesus is going to respond with compassion. We need to cry out for help. Now, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. This is the sermon in a sentence. Compassion invites us close. When we call out to Jesus, he's going to invite us close. We all have reasons to call out to Jesus. Unfortunately, I think it's been my observation over the years. A lot of us hesitate to call out. A lot of us hesitate to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't know if we think we just have to have our act together and, you know, what would people think? They figured out I don't. We need this blind man's faith and Jesus' willingness to meet our needs with compassion. See, when we do, when we believe that Jesus is going to meet our need, whatever it may be, Jesus invites us to come close, and then he asks us, what do you want me to do for you? I think sometimes he may ask us more than once. Because sometimes the first thing we say is like a surface issue. And he may ask us again because he knows that there's something deeper that really needs to be dealt with. So we might even say, well, what do you want me to do for you? And we might say, well, you know, I want you to take care of this problem. And he'll say, yeah, but what do you want me to do for you? And then we realize, oh, he knows there's something else going on down deeper. And we don't really want to talk about that. Jesus is always asking that question. What do you want me to do for you? He wants to ask it to others through us, and he wants to ask it of us through others. But I think today, he wants to ask you and me directly through the Holy Spirit, just to simply say to us, what do you want me to do for you? How will you answer him? Jesus invites us close, and he asks, what do you want me to do for you? How will you answer? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, it's so easy for us to come up with a flippant answer. Perhaps to say everything's okay. Or I could use $1 million. But we ask you to keep digging. Keep asking. Because we need to be changed deep, deep inside. We need a transformation that's life-changing as a blind man receiving sight. You're the one who can show us. You're the one who knows us better than even we know ourselves. We are so good at lying to ourselves. So, search us, Holy Spirit, and reveal to us best answer to that question. As Jesus asks us, what do you want me to do for you? Show us the answer that's going to really change us. We're willing to give you time. So in the next few days, help us to keep listening. Help us to keep our hearts and minds tuned in to your voice till we hear, till we know we've heard the answer you've given us. And we can turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord, this is what I need. We thank you now for what we know you're doing and what you're going to finish doing. Thank those of you who have joined us online. We are really looking forward to the opportunity to someday meeting you in person, connecting with you live and in person, so to speak. As I mentioned before, Easter Sunday would be an excellent time for that, an excellent time. Never mind. We'd love to see you on Easter Sunday if you could join us. If you can't, we'd still love to have you join us online. Either way, thank you for joining us, and we would love to see you in person sometime. Thanks. This time of worship is over, but our work, our service, is just beginning. We are sent, but we are not going alone. We are going with King Jesus in the power and the love of his Holy Spirit. So remember this. We have righteousness, peace, and joy in Jesus' Holy Spirit. Let's go live like it.